This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Hour number two starts now of the big show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Coming to you live from Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue. We would love to see you stop by and say hi, grab some great Cajun food. It is fantastic food, great drinks. The daiquiris are out of this world. And lots of beautiful people hanging out before the football game tonight. If you don't have tickets to the game and you want a place to watch it, great place here. Lots of TVs, great food. Good environment. Check it out. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Want to give a shout-out as we start hour number 2 to a good friend of the show. Happy birthday, Mario Ellie, who turns 55 today. Double nickel for number 17.
Man, I hope I look that good at 55. That dude's in great shape.
Yep. He's coaching. He's got triplets, so he's got two boys that are playing hoops, AAU, so he's sponsoring the team, and he's coaching. He's doing all kinds of things, but happy birthday to Rio. We always appreciated him being a part of the show, but he is a great dude and a great ambassador for Clutch City when they start talking about those old Rockets teams.
Indeed. Hey, Chan said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rays are in the mix for the AL East. They had a bad start, but were nipping at the Yankees' heels at one point during the second half. I agree, but I feel like a small market team like that's going to find it eventually. Their stars get older and want money, and that's when it all falls apart. And unless you have a magical run like the Athletics had or like the Rays had, plus being in a division where you've got two powerhouse teams that can afford to spend at the trade deadline, it's going to always make it difficult for a team like the Rays.
Yeah, you look at the Orioles. And the Orioles, or, you know, there's been, sporadically, there's been teams that kind of find lightning in a bottle. And, you know, for that one given year, everything falls into place. Like we were talking about with the Astros, every close line drive down a baseline finds the white chalk instead of goes foul. You know, every funky hop ends up in your mitt instead of going through for a base hit. If you are teams like that, you've got to capitalize when you have the chance because, like you said, especially if you're a small market, but even the Orioles, when they had Machado, they just finally realized we're not going to be able to pay him, and that means that we're not going to be able to keep a guy that's helped us try and compete, and I say try, with the Red Sox and the Yankees. But I look at some of the, you know, the old teams that you looked at in the past. People frowned on what the Marlins did for that one year. But they took advantage of the fact that, hey, this might be our only shot. We're going to load up. We're going to go for it full-blown. But the fan base, as happy as they're going to be, has to realize win, lose, or draw at the end of the year, it's pretty much over. We're going to clear the cupboards again because we can't afford to do this long-term. Milwaukee's done it several times, too. They went out and they got CeCe Sabathia. This year they went out and made some late trades to try and add some pieces, Granderson and Moustakas and guys like that. But trying to keep those guys long-term in a small market – is a big challenge, especially when you know that you can't compete with the Red Sox and the Yankees and even the Astros on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah. El Jefe said, what are the thoughts on BMAC going to the Braves and Donaldson? Because we talked about the move. We just didn't really – I mean
– mentioned it but didn't break it down.
Yeah, for me, I just feel like – I think McCann obviously is a guy who will be great in the clubhouse, but he's just proven that he's so old, he can't stay healthy anymore. I feel like this is – they're going out and getting some veteran leadership, but I don't really expect even Josh Donaldson to be the same guy that he was before. He hasn't been in a while. I just don't know that. I mean, I feel like these moves, while they show that they're in it to win it and they're trying, I just think it's the wrong guys. It kind of you're adding age, and I don't know that you're getting any better. You're
Here's
adding experience, but I don't know that you're getting better by adding that experience.
This is the equivalent in McCann of after Akeem went to the Raptors, if you brought him back so that he could finish his career as a member of the Rockets. I think that you're tipping your cap to Brian McCann. I don't know what the deal was for financially, but I think more so than anything else, in the process of doing that, you'll reap the benefits of a veteran guy that has been there, done that, has experience, can work with your younger players, can be kind of a next bench coach, if you will. From the standpoint of Donaldson, if you really thought that was going to be a long-term fix for them, then it would have been a long-term deal. It's 1 year. It soaks up a lot of free extra money that they had. If he finds it and starts playing like he did when he was an MVP in Toronto, then maybe you look at doing something for a couple of years, a multi-year deal. But overall, I think that's a stopgap. But it's a big name that gets the fans kind of juiced in the offseason, too.
Combined, they played in 116 games last year.
Yeah.
53 for Donaldson, 63 for McCann. I just feel like that they're, at best, what you hope for with this team, and I know this is going to sound silly, and I'm not suggesting that the Braves make the World Series, but a couple of years ago, the Astros went out and added Carlos Beltran. And you kind of hoped that he would rekindle some of that magic that he had in his prime. But even if he didn't, you knew in the clubhouse he was going to teach Altuve and these guys how to be winners and how to be major leaguers and how to be leaders. And I think that's what, as the Braves make these moves, you hope that Brian McCann can hit again and stay healthy and Josh Donaldson can return to form. But if they don't, at least they can teach these young guys how to be leaders, how to be winners, and how to carry themselves as major leaguers going forward. But I think that's the best possible hope for them at this point. I just don't see Josh Donaldson getting it back. I just think his time has passed, and it happens.
Yeah, no question about it. But look, from a splash perspective, again, the Braves are dealing with the Mets. They're dealing with some bigger markets too. So at least from a splash perspective, and for now, people are getting – it's getting some run. There's going to be some excitement to hope that he still has it. He can find it again, and he can provide some you know, leadership while giving you a good bat in the middle of the lineup. That makes a lot of sense. And again, you're not on the hook long-term. And so you give your fans the idea that you're going for it. But this is not a move the Astros would make, because the Astros are going to make moves that not only from just a simple make sense standpoint for filling a need on the team, but from an analytics standpoint and number standpoint, they break it down a lot further. They don't just go out and take a chance on a big name for the sake of bringing them in on a short-term deal.
Yeah. My guy AR Platinum on Twitter said, man, Bob McNair got roasted on Wiki. And I'm not going to read it because it's just so disrespectful. But that doesn't surprise me in the day and age of the internet that somebody would go out and put a bunch of disrespectful stuff on somebody's Wiki page after they die.
Well, there's that.
People are childish.
And then there's the Willie Taggart situation. And I was telling you during the break, you want to talk just about just people that are – their true colors show, but just absolutely racist, ridiculous people that need to be punished. But obviously we know Florida State has not had the kind of season that any of the boosters, the alumni, or the university had expected or had grown accustomed to. It's the school's first losing season since 76. They have a 5-7 record. They won't qualify for a bowl game for the first time since 81, and on and on and on. In the process, they lost to their rival Florida this weekend. But in just a despicable and deplorable act by a Florida State, I guess, fan, I don't know, booster, whatever. But a man went out on Twitter and took a picture of an African-American man hanging from a tree and put Willie Taggart's head on that body and thought that for some reason that would be taken with a grain of salt or found humor in it. For whatever the reason he did it, it was inexcusable. It was ridiculous. He deserves to be punished. And no one, and no university, no man, no anybody should have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. But sadly, that's, I feel like that's it's a reflection of kind of where we are in the internet age, where people think they can get away with anything, or they can post anything, or they can say anything or do anything. Pretty sad. I mean, there's no other word.
The more we feel like as a society we've moved forward, we've advanced, people are better than that, the more these kind of things rear their ugly head to realize the more you think you're taking a step back, a step ahead, you've taken two steps back by some of the idiots that are out there.
Yeah, pretty bad.
So that's some bad stuff from the weekend. Unfortunately, we had to talk about that as well. So we can continue to move on. If there's things on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to talk about, still have to talk about a lot of pro football and a lot of
Sarah
other things.
Sarah Barshop at 2:30.
Yep, Sarah Barshop, Texans beat writer that's going to be covering the game tonight, is going to join us as well to give us a little preview of Texans-Titans on Monday Night Football. I'm also being told, by the way, 7 o'clock tonight, if you have tickets to the game, is the time you should be in your seats as they will do an in-stadium tribute to Bob McNair before the Texans game. So with all that being said, I do want to tell you before we go to break, hey, The holidays are here. We just passed Thanksgiving. We've got Christmas coming up. A lot of people have a lot of entertaining to do and family and friends coming over to the house. And you don't want to be embarrassed by having bad furniture. That's a bad look for you. Well, here's what you do. Go to one of three Gallery Furniture locations. You can either go to the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugar Land. You can go to the Galleria area or I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Which, regardless of which of the three locations you choose, the deals are there. The furniture is all solid wood American made. I know because I have it all throughout my house. Ever since I've been in Houston, I've shopped only at Gallery Furniture because what they say is what they're going to do. That means you buy today, you get it tonight. Within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, you get it delivered to your house. The delivery people are going to be very friendly and customer service focused. You want stuff rearranged or taken out, they'll do that too because they want you to be a return customer. Anytime you need anything in furniture, you should go to Gallery because it doesn't come when the furniture is delivered. It doesn't come with instructions and tools and you have to put it together yourself. No, this is all really good furniture that's going to pass on to generations in your family. It's wood. It's solid wood. It's leather. It's upholstered. Every room in your house is covered thanks to Gallery Furniture. They're open late till 10 o'clock every night, all 7 days of the week at all three locations, so you can get in when the time is convenient for you. Like I said, delivery is going to be the same day. There's no back order slips. And the main thing that Gallery pushes is what you need to be focused on as a customer looking for furniture, and that is when you walk into one of the doors at any one of the three locations of Gallery Furniture, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, how you guys doing? Welcome to Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue. Chimney Rock and Richmond, late lunchtime. Fellas are filing in, grabbing some great Cajun food. Maybe a daiquiri. You know if you have to go back to work or not, or you just feel like being a little wild and crazy on the Monday after Thanksgiving. But Barry and I are here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. We'd love to see you. Great specials. And, again, if you're looking for a place to watch the game tonight, this is the place to be. The other place to be is listening to The Usual Suspects because we win the game tonight between the Texans and the Titans and all the implications and everything that's going on with the division. We're going to have Sarah Barshop on. She covers the Texans for ESPN, so she is going to be the person in the know about everything that you need information-wise getting ready for kickoff tonight between the two teams on Monday Night Football.
Okay, I don't want to do this because, you know, I don't like to drag this guy's name through the mud.
Okay.
But Chris Householder texted the show.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Suspect.
And he said, your boy, Kurt Lowe.
Ah.
Just got booted from the House of Houston. I don't know what the House of Houston is.
I believe, I'm going to go out on a limb, Nick, maybe you know, I believe that's Jason Braddock's new venture.
Is that a message board?
I thought it was something else. I don't give free plugs, but I don't think that's it.
So he got booted for homophobic remarks.
Not surprising.
What? But he's so religious.
That's
and
what I was going to say. Because
everything.
He's so religious. He also said, you know, because I've made comments to him before where he's very critical in name calling of NBA players, and I said, well, I don't believe that you're a Christian and you promote that all the time. I don't think the good book says that you should be ripping people like that.
Yeah, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I'll just say that.
You guys are going to go to dinner sometime and just bury the hatchet, huh?
No, whatever. So somebody texted the show and said, so are they going to open the roof now at NRG with the new owner? Hey, give him a minute. It hadn't even been that long, man. But
well, it looks like we lost the guys. We'll try to grab a hold of them and get them back over our airwaves as soon as possible. I don't know where Joel and Barry are, but they are at Buku if you want to see them in person. We'll take a quick break. We'll try to hunt them down, and we'll come right back. It's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hopefully you are out and about, and if you're in the Galleria area, boy, do I have a place for you. If you're looking for a late lunch or a great dinner, you need to stop by Buku. It's 5600 Richmond Avenue. It's essentially the intersection of Richmond and Chimney Rock, and I'm telling you, you want and you like great Cajun food, they got it. You want unbelievable daiquiris, they got it. You want affordable pricing, absolutely check that one off too. And unbelievable atmosphere, friendly people,
yep.
Lots of good-looking folks in the building. And, of course, with lots of TVs, you can stop by if you don't have a ticket to the game tonight and watch it here with some great food and beverage with some new friends.
So couple ugly ones, too. I'm not pointing out who. I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. Why? The
some people gave
one
you a
guy
death stare,
around.
By the
way. See, you weren't supposed to turn around and look, sir. You gave yourself away. As soon as I said ugly people, you looked at me. You gave yourself away. You shouldn't have done that. You should have just faced forward. Now everybody knows.
Self-esteem, man. You have a you're a good-looking dude. Don't do that to yourself.
Hey, did you watch the Phil Tiger debacle?
I did not. Yeah. I heard about it. I was disappointed in
apparently you didn't
when
have
I
to
saw
pay
the results.
For it. So first of all, Phil and Tiger had the 200K bet that Phil would birdie
hole
the first
one.
Hole, and
yeah.
He didn't.
Right.
So he lost that, but he ends up winning the $9.5 million match. Turns out Turner is going to be refunding a lot of money because there was a paywall issue and they were unable to get it working correctly. So they just had to open it up for free and let everybody watch it. So everyone that had paid to watch this is going to get their money back.
And it went extra holes.
It did.
They were creating different holes that weren't actually on the course.
What?
To make it, yeah. So you were they teed off behind the driving range.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, had a makeshift couple of holes. It went four extra holes. If you saw any of the highlights or heard anything, Tiger couldn't putt to save his life.
Yeah.
But the thing that people were talking about the most was near the end when Tiger was very frustrated missing a 4-foot putt, I think, where he could have won it. He took his hat off and it sent Twitter in a frenzy of, oh, Lord, you should shave it off. I didn't know that Tiger had the globe tattooed on the top of his head to the fact that there was bodies of water and continents of land.
No.
And, they were just ripping him.
Because of his hair?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man.
So that was a deal.
I missed that.
Yeah.
So we had the neck memes, and now we've got Tiger hair memes. Is that what's coming next or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was close-ups and people trying to zoom in off their TV. And it was a bad look for Tiger in more ways than one because I didn't think there was any way he was going to lose to Phil. He has the course record at Shadow Creek, which is a phenomenal golf course. I've been privileged enough to play it numerous times. And it is secluded. It is really well kept. And Phil was saying in the press conference that he had the course record, and then Tiger came along and beat it. And everything Phil has done, Tiger's done better. So Phil wanted the bragging rights to be able to talk mess all year. He got them, but I don't think either guy's going to be proud of the way they played. If you go back and look at highlights, they were missing putts left and right, and it was not pretty golf.
Yeah, that's what I obviously didn't watch it, but I heard it was I think people are glad they'll be getting their money refunded if they had to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely no question about that because – like you said, there were going to be refunds for the online, but I think that the pay-per-view itself.
Everybody.
Went through. Oh, really?
Everybody.
I heard it was just the online.
No, Turner's having to refund money as well.
So that
because
means
it
that
was
they're going to have. That means Turner's going to have to pay Phil all $9 million by themselves.
Sounds like it, man. I can't imagine. I didn't see the buys or the numbers yet, but I can't imagine that it did that well, did it?
I would think not, but I would think also, like we talked about last week, that none of these guys were having the money come out of their own pocket. I found out that all the side bets, because there were several others in which Tiger won a few of them, to accumulate about $500,000. But they all went the side bets all went to their charities. So to Phil and Tiger's charity benefited from the side bets. But I would bet that the $9 million was all based on the fact that they thought they were going to sell it and use pay-per-view revenues to pay for it, and that's not going to be the case then.
No, it says carriers Comcast, Charter, Spectrum, Cox Communications, Dish, Sling TV, and AT&T via DirecTV and UVerse all announced they would not charge customers who paid for the event, although either through credits or refunds. So, yeah, because of the paywall
issue. Josh Rapp is happy then.
Yeah, he was probably the only person in Houston that bought it. I'd be willing to bet you.
I don't know the only person because there's a big golf community in Houston, but yeah, he was jacked about it. He was tweeting about it. I mean, he was one of the, he was like, we always talk about the guys that do play-by-play on Twitter of Rockets games or Astros games. Yeah, he was doing the play-by-play of the Tiger Phil match, so who needs the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I would have to. I didn't see it, fortunately, or I would have had to either mute him or unfollow him for the time being.
Yeah, so that one was something that you might have missed over the weekend as well. And the Longhorns big in the Big 12 championship.
Yep.
So they did that they were supposed to do, albeit against the Kansas team that I thought that they were going to blow out. That was extremely close. How'd you guys do, by the way, on your AJ picks?
I don't even remember what the hell I sent him, to be honest with you. That was so long ago.
I did well with LSU, but the Steelers let me down.
Did they?
Yeah, I had the Steelers given 3 yesterday at Mile High Stadium, and it didn't work out so well.
No. You know, it's funny because –
did you see the final play with Ben?
Yeah, I don't know what he – and it was intercepted by the defensive tackle, but it was going to be intercepted by the cornerback anyway.
Yes,
it didn't matter.
And if you listen to Roethlisberger in the postgame, he said – that's the biggest fluke interception. A guy was – he was blocked into an interception. He was blocked into the right position to pick it off. Well, guess what? If he doesn't pick it off, the defensive back definitely does, and you really screwed your whole team.
I had LSU and the Steelers.
Oh, we had the same pick.
Did we?
Yeah, both picks. Yeah.
Jeez.
So we were 1-1.
1-1.
The way things are going, that might be okay.
I started off the first 2 weeks of this stupid contest like a house on fire, hadn't missed a pick for like 2 or 3 weeks.
And you were bragging about it.
And I told you, as soon as I started bragging about it, it would all go to hell in a handbasket. And that's exactly what happened. And I am now second to last.
Oh, no.
In the whole thing.
I'm close. I'm middle of the pack, but still close to the bottom, where I'm paying more and more attention to my picks.
Man.
But, yeah, that's, boy.
Not good.
If anybody is looking for a wager to play, there's one game left on the schedule, and I think everybody in Houston knows about that. It's the Texans. It's the Titans. And that's a game happening over at NRG tonight. And as we've promoted, the one person knows more than most when it comes to this topic and anything Houston Texans is Sarah Barshop. And she spends time with us from time to time to preview the game and talk about what's going on with your Houston Texans. Sarah, thank you so much on a game day for joining us. We always appreciate you, but never more than when you have so much going on day of game.
Of course. Great to join you guys.
Hey, first things first, Sarah, what is the mood like in the locker room? Obviously, with the passing of Bob McNair, what is the sentiments around there? How are the players doing?
So we haven't been in the locker room since he passed on Friday because we were there earlier in the day. But, I mean, just from what I've seen on social media, the players, you know, seem to have a lot of respect for him. We've seen J.J. Watt, D.J. Reader, Christian Covington, a lot of people, even like Brian Cushing, former players, you know, post a message to him saying, you know, thank you for making my dreams come true and, you know, drafting me to play for the Texans and stuff like that. So he was obviously very well respected in the locker room.
So, Sarah, getting to the game itself tonight, 2 weeks ago or so, we were looking at the schedule and thinking, wow, if they just beat the Titans and split the season series with them and get that win, they should be able to cakewalk the division. But lo and behold, Andrew Luck and the Colts have been on a tear themselves, and they're in the rearview mirror closer than what we might have thought earlier as well. So I'm not saying it's obviously not a must win for a team that's rattled off as many wins in a row as they have now, but there has to be a little bit of an extra sense of urgency knowing that they control their destiny, but they have to keep winning football games.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was actually just talking to our Colts reporter. I mean, who would have thought when they met in week 4, when the Texans were 0-3 going into the game, and I believe the Colts had one win, that we'd be looking at a week 14 game as deciding the division. But they know they need to take care of business, and that's kind of what the refrain in the locker room is. Like, yeah, it's great that we've won 7 in a row, but it's still possible that another team could win this division. So they know they've got to first focus on the Titans, but then, you know, take care of business if they want to control their own destiny.
Sarah, could you talk a little bit about anything else that stands out in terms of the culture the culture in the locker room? Is there anything in particular that we could, as a fan base, look forward to in terms of the culture in the locker room?
I think what surprised me after the 0-3 start was that it wasn't a lot of guys who were upset or down or felt defeated. I mean, you looked at the historical stats of a team making the playoffs after starting 0-3, very low. And you would have thought, you know, players would be down about that, but I really didn't get the sense. I mean, I said to some of the other B-writers a couple times, like, this doesn't seem like a group that has lost three in a row to start the season. And I don't mean that in a negative way in that they're not taking it seriously, because I don't think that's the case. It was that they believed that they were so close to getting a win and turning this around. And a lot of the times that doesn't happen. And we've asked Bill, we've asked JJ, all these players and coaches about, you know, what it was that made them believe. And everyone has said the belief in each other. Now, you also have to be talented, which is what the Texans are. But I thought it was impressive and said a lot about their team culture that they didn't give up after going down 0-3 for the season.
Sarah, I have a question for you. So last week, the Texans went in with just two backup linemen on the offensive line and then suffered some injuries and ended up having to play with five guys and kind of crossing their fingers. What is the status of that offensive line? Is Bill O'Brien maybe going to carry eight guys instead of seven guys? Because I know on the injury report on the front page on ESPN, they've got Kelemente and Fulton are both questionable. But what's the status of the offensive line and the depth of it going into the game tonight?
So, Kelemente and Fulton are both listed as questionable. I think we could see Fulton play. I don't think Kelemente will play. And so then you have Greg Mansfield, who, if that's your backup, I mean, that's a pretty good option, I think. So I think he'll probably start for at least one of them. And then you just hope that you don't have a repeat and that the committee for the rest of the game healthy, and then hopefully Kelemente's back for the week after.
Well, Sarah, also the thing that was on topic on everybody's minds was working Demaryius Thomas in more. We know that, you know, it's a lot of work to catch up with the playbook and get acclimated with a new system and a new team on the fly. And even with the bye week, I don't think that those of us that know football thought that he was going to be overly targeted. But now that there's some time that has passed and he's getting more acclimated, how much should we expect to see Demaryius Thomas be a part of this offense tonight?
And I thought it was really interesting because we asked Bill O'Brien that this week, and his answer was, I need to do a better job of calling plays for him. He's done a good job learning the offense. So I think we'll see more, but I caution a lot of people who ask me about this, especially for fantasy purposes, is that DeAndre Hopkins is still the number one receiver, and he's still going to be Deshaun Watson's go-to. So Demaryius might be more involved in the offense, and I think he'll have more than one target this week, but I don't know that he is going to be overly involved in this offense, especially with Kiki Cutie and DeAndre Hopkins healthy.
Staying on the offensive side of the ball for a second, it seems like every week we talk about this or it comes up, but Deontay Foreman, they're talking about he's making progress on a daily basis. They're optimistic he might join in a couple of weeks. What's going to be the status for him in this backfield? I mean, both Miller and Blue have run the ball really well the last couple of games, and the offensive line has been doing a good job. How does Foreman fit in, and will he fit in? Is he coming back at all, and what are they going to do with him when he does come back?
I don't know that they would have started this 21-day window if they didn't think he was close. So I think he'll probably come back unless they see something in practice, and they think that Achilles is still bothering him. But I think what he does is add fresh legs to this offense. I mean, to the running game especially, that's what you need. Because in November and December, you have to be able to run the ball. Bill O'Brien's teams have shown that the past couple of seasons. You need to do that, especially with Deshaun Watson can't run as much as he used to. They've got to have a good running game. And so when Lamar Miller has had as many carries as he's had, and when Alpha Blue has done the same, when you can bring a fresh running back in who is playing as well as he was last year, I think that adds a lot of that's a big strength to this offense that a lot of playoff teams don't get down the stretch.
So, Sarah, looking at the game tonight specifically and the fact that you know, Tennessee won the first matchup between these two teams, they did so without Marcus Mariota or their two starting tackles at the time, and everybody remembers that game because that was part of the rough start for this team. But now since then, tale of two teams. Texans have been on a roll. Titans have been Jekyll and Hyde, where one week they go out and they beat the Cowboys handily, and the next week they go out and they get it handed to them. They've beaten the Patriots. What are we supposed to expect tonight? Is Mariota going to play? How healthy is he? And what do you expect to see when these two teams take the field this evening at NRG?
No, throughout this winning streak, I've thought they can't win another game in a row, right? They're not going to win a sixth and a seventh and now an eighth. And so you look at the matchup, and it's just the Texans are the better team. Even though the Titans beat the Patriots, even though, you know, and they lost to a Red Hawk Colts team, I just think that the Texans are a more talented team. I don't know that it's going to be high scoring. I think Texans defense will dominate even if Mariota plays. But I don't know. I think we'll get a better glimpse of what this Texans team is after this game.
All right, so what is the key to the game for you? I mean, is it defensively? I know that the Texans have been playing really well, and I know that the Titans offense isn't anything to be scared of. But defensively, the Titans, on the flip side, are pretty stout up front and can put a, you know, can have done a pretty good job of limiting, you know, the passing attack for most teams, all things considered, on who they've played as of late. What's the key for you to this game for the Texans to come out ahead?
It sounds simple, but Deshaun Watson can't turn over the ball. And we saw during the majority of the win streak, he went those three games. In fact, the team went to three games without a turnover. Now they had three last week, and they still got the win, but that was a very close game. I think Deshaun needs, especially against this great secondary, I think Watson needs to be able to hold him to the ball, not make those bad decisions. You know, some of them you can't prevent, like one of his interceptions. It was just a nice play by the Redskins defensive player, but I think Watson needs to just be smart, don't force throws, and I think this team is so much more talented that if they can do that and not turn the ball over, they'll get the win.
All right, before we let you go, we want everybody to know that you can follow Sarah Barshop on Twitter, at Sarah Barshop. She does everything daily to cover this Houston Texans team for you. And to show her dedication, she is pregnant, and she is still a trooper and making sure that she is there for you every step of the way. Sarah, what's the latest update on the baby watch?
We'll see. We'll see how many more games I'm covering this season. Like, all good so far.
Okay, well, we appreciate you as always. We wish you all the best. We look forward to having you on again. And happy holidays and belated Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Have a great one, guys.
There you go. Sarah Barshop, always a great friend of the show, calling in and giving us her perspective on the Houston Texans. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. Before we get any further, though, do want to let you guys know about Gallery Furniture one more time. It's the holidays. You might be shopping because you're going to be entertaining people at the house, and you don't want to see stains on the furniture and holes and things like that in furniture you've had for a long time that just hasn't lasted. Well, you can shop at Gallery Furniture right now and take care of all of that. In any of their three locations, you buy $4,000 more or more worth of furniture, you get 40% of that back in free accessories. It could be lamps and rugs, paintings on the walls, things for the coffee table, all those things included. 40% back when you spend $4,000 or more in furniture at all three Gallery Furniture locations, and all three locations open till 10 o'clock each and every night, 7 days a week, to allow to better serve you and allow you to get the best deals whenever it's convenient for you. You can go to Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. You can go to the Galleria, and of course you can go to I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Also, if you're looking to be a little bit more of a gambler when you are buying your furniture, you can double down. The Astros Rockets promotion is going on right now. Buy $3,000 in mattresses, and there are two ways to win those mattresses for free, because if you buy those mattresses and the Rockets win the championship this year or the Astros win it next year, you get them for free. So you get the quality and comfort of great mattresses in your home at a great price, and you also realize that there's a chance that you could get them for free if the hometown teams do well. So they're doing that as well. Mac, just another way he likes to take care of the people of Houston, Texas, and he wants to take care of you too. So like they always say in the commercials, it's everything that they're going to do. That means you buy today, you get it tonight. There are no back order slips. What you see is what you get, and it will be delivered within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. And the most important thing to you, besides it being solid wood American-made furniture that's going to last, is the fact that Gallery really will save you money.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still hour number two of the three-hour show, and we always appreciate you being along for the ride. And speaking of being along for the ride, if you're in the Galleria area, you can stop on by. We are at Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue. If you're looking for a place to get late lunch, great Cajun food, daiquiris are out of this world. Lots of TVs if you want to watch some sports leading up to the game tonight. Maybe you just want to hang out all night, do a little lunch, do a little dinner, watch a little football. This is the place to be. You should come by and see me, see Barry, and, of course, Fred and AJ will be here with the Blitz 4 till 7 as well.
Yeah, so. Got John on the phone. John wants to talk a little Texan. Sorry we couldn't get you on with Sarah, John, but what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Hey, I just wanted to talk a little Texans real quick. First thing is I'm Bill O'Brien. He's fine by me. The biggest attribute that I like about him is that the players really seem to like him and respect him and play hard for him, which I think is essential when it comes to an organization. But in my opinion, he is a subpar play caller. And I just wanted to throw this at you guys. Would you guys be intrigued if the Texans went and got Cliff Kingsbury as an OC? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. You know, I would not be intrigued as Cliff Kingsbury, simply because I think this team and this organization needs someone a little more established. I would like to see them get somebody a little more established than that. And has Kingsbury ever done it at the pro level?
I was going to say the pro level is a totally different ballgame. No pun intended. It really is. And you know, you see all these Big 12 schools. That are getting knocked so hard right now because everybody in the Big 12 can score points, but no one can stop anybody. But that just tells you that within their own conference, it's just wide open 7-on-7 football. But in the NFL, you're not going to get the same look twice. And defensive coordinators are very intelligent guys that are going to mix up looks and hide coverages and do things that make it a lot more difficult to do what you're able to do in the college game. And I think that it's a sexy name in Texas because Kingsbury, from the time he played to when he's coached, has
Houston,
always been,
yeah.
You know, big points and spread offense and doing it upright. I just don't think it translates as easily as people think it would when it comes to being an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Look at Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian was the head coach at SC. He went to the NFL to be the offensive coordinator for the Falcons. They had a complete and total fall off from where they were with Shanahan, and that's just one example. So I think that Cliff Kingsbury is a college guy. I think that he'll find another job in the college game. He may be a coordinator for a year or two, and then he'll be a head coach again. But I think that's where he's better suited than he would be trying to be an offensive coordinator for the Texans. And it's not that I don't disagree with you on O'Brien and his play calling, but like you said, Barry, there are established names in the NFL that can give you a better result that you don't have to be like, trial and error and bring a college guy in and take a shot. Your team's too good to be doing that.
Especially a guy that's never been a coordinator or has any NFL coaching
experience. Right.
None at all. Never been on a staff. So, yeah, that would be my big hesitation is to bring him into a situation where, one, you're not going to be running college-style offenses like you said. There may be some similarities in certain cases where you run some RPOs that maybe they see in the college game or whatnot. But, yeah, overall, I think this team and the trajectory that it's on needs somebody with more experience that's been there. But I do agree with you and with John, the caller. I wouldn't mind at all if Bill O'Brien gave up play calling duties. But to be fair, he has his moments, though. There are games, and I'll watch and think, you know what? This is good play calling. I mean, they're running – They're opening
off
up the offense. When Kiki QT's first game, I mean, they tried just about everything to get him involved and make it not just run left, pass. That's it. Turn it over. Punt it. So you've got to give him some credit when he does have a good play, but he's just so wildly inconsistent.
All right, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Where are you on Lincoln Riley then? Because Lincoln Riley's the hot name. And obviously the first team he was connected with was his college quarterback, Baker Mayfield, at the Browns. And because everybody's saying that, look, you need these more innovative young minds, and everybody's looking at some of the young coaches in the league. But again, what they're forgetting is, in my opinion, is when you look at Sean McVay and you look at some of these guys that have had success at the next level, they have spent years as assistants and getting the lay of the land on the pro level. Lincoln Riley, to me, is a sexy name because, again, in the Big 12, you're going to score points. That's what everybody in the Big 12 does. He's done it better than most. But at the same time, when you see these coordinators that can mix up coverages and they give you multiple looks before the ball is snapped, it's a whole new ball game. And I just – that's okay if you're in a team that's at the bottom trying to make a splash and letting a coach grow with a franchise that's trying to get back to winning ways. I can see that. I can't see that with a team that has as much talent as the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and I don't know. I kind of feel the same way about Lincoln Riley, but you understand the difference, though. I mean, when you look at the programs, no disrespect to Texas Tech, but Oklahoma and that program is on a whole different level.
Now, I will give Lincoln Riley, too, the fact that as a head coach, there's so much more in terms of managing the responsibilities, overseeing the entire system and operation.
Especially on a program the size and the level that OU is at versus Texas Tech.
And how many players you have to pay on a regular basis just to make sure you stay competitive. I was just kidding.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's been a head coach, so he's had a lot more responsibility. But I still think that there would be that kind of growth period, that growing pains that go with and are associated with a guy that's trying to get used to a new setup and obviously competing at the highest level on the pro game. I think he'd take some lumps before he found success. I don't think that I would say that he can't do it. But I think you're right. Because of the size of the program and everything he's coming from, he's better suited to succeed than a Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, just a note, intra-division, the Jacksonville Jaguars have announced they are benching Blake Bortles in favor of Cody Kessler versus the Colts.
No.
Any surprise there?
No surprise, but everything that's happened in Jacksonville has happened a day late and a dollar short. They're so far behind. They could have tried to salvage the season. If you were going to do that, you could have done that weeks ago when you still had a fighting chance in the division and also to be a playoff team. But what have they lost, like five or six in a row now? It's just bad football. It's guys in the locker room that look like they don't want to be there anymore. And, yeah, they've gotten stuck behind the Jalen Ramsey train all year in his mouth, both good and bad. But at the same time, that shouldn't have derailed the team that had that much talent that should have and could have won the AFC Championship a year ago. To have fallen off that far that fast, that's awful. So they fire their coordinator, their offensive coordinator. They bench Blake Bortles, and for what? Because at this point, you might as well just play for draft picks because you're going nowhere for the rest of the season.
I totally agree. I think that this is a move that's too little too late.
Yep.
And even when this team was, riding high early on in the season, you could tell that they were hanging in and winning in spite of Blake Bortles, and that everybody knew going into the season that the Jags – needed to make a change at offense at quarterback, and they even said, no, we're good. We're going to stand pat, we think, with the running game and with this defense. And it just proves that no matter what you have around the player, that position is the most important position on a team. And when you're insufficient at that position, it doesn't matter how good you are everywhere else. It's rare that you can overcome bad quarterback play.
And
he's like 21st in the league in touchdown passes.
You could have Jalen Ramsey going out and telling the Bills that Allen is a trash quarterback, but how much better is he than anything that you've had all year? Because if you had anything better than a trash quarterback, you'd probably still be in the hunt for a playoff spot, albeit probably a wild card. But at the same time, this is a team that league-wide everybody had high expectations for and expected them to get back at least to where they were a year ago, to the AFC Championship game. Now they're not even going to make the playoffs.
And I know a lot of people, including you and I, have discussed Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin and something going on. He's been no better this year. He's got 14 touchdowns on the season. Blake Bortles has 13. So it would really just be trading one problem for another in Eli Manning and his quarterback play. But they've got to address it. I mean, this is a team that's loaded with talent on both sides of the ball, except at the most important position on the field. So we shall see what happens with them. But that's good news if you're a Texans fan, because you could pretty much go ahead and at least scratch that team off the list of teams you have to worry about. If you beat the Titans tonight, you split the season series with them, so you're going to be okay there. Important game for the Texans, to say the least. All right, guys, right now I want to talk to you about MyBookie, man. It's been a great football season so far, and look, I want you to have some fun outside of just watching the game and maybe playing some fantasy, you're doing all the research, you're watching all the games. Why not get some action on those games with MyBookie? And remember, who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why you need to get hooked up with MyBookie. Super easy to sign up. Just go to mybookie.ag. They are the online destination to get action on any game. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been around for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why you should be playing them. And I'll give you the biggest reason why you should be playing them. Because when you win, they pay you. That is so important when deciding who you want to get that action with. And mybookie.ag is the place to do it. In-game live betting, super awesome player perks for you to get involved with. You can even bet the over-under on fantasy points of player scores. To get started, go to mybookie.ag, use promo code radio, and they will match 50% of your first deposit. That's right. Put in $500, and they'll match it $250. Use promo code radio. That's mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.